Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are on 21?
Nope.
Or 20th?
Yep.
20th.
Yep, 20th.
of 2016 to do next to the last show of the year. 2016 yep. is over.
Winding it down. Tomorrow is the winter solstice.
The shortest. Oh, is that right? Tomorrow's the final. Oh, so the sun starts going in the other direction. That's
I
good.
Hope so. I was out on the boat last week and
yeah, it gets dark at 4.
I was out there. I was like, what's going on? You know, yeah. In the summertime, you get to stay up there till 9:30 at night, 10 o'clock. By the time it gets dark, it's 5:15. You know, the water, it's lighter on the water because there's nothing blocking it, right? It's like 5:15. I'm like, oh, this is awful. And there was no fish either.
Well, that there's no fish.
There's no fish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go over some of the things that are going on. First of all, a merry and a happy Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and all that good stuff to our listeners. All this is happening. Actually, it lines up pretty well this year. It's all happening on Sunday and Monday of this coming week.
No.
And I know you got big plans. You got a big meetup going on down in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, we're doing a meetup on Monday after Christmas, the day after Christmas in the Beverly Hills at the little bar or restaurant called Citizen.
Very nice. That must be fun.
Yeah, it should be fun. It looks like there's going to be a fairly large crowd.
Mm. Well, we have the markets closed on Monday, December 26th, in observance of the holidays. And New Year's is coming up the next week. Markets will be closed Monday, January 2nd. So a nice long weekend for that. And next week, just as a quick announcement, we're going to do the show on Wednesday where we have the year-end wrap. We have your comments about why you listen to the DH Unplugged show and kind of all the things that I have a culmination I'm starting to work on of all the, seriously, all the exciting things that we did on the show last year, this year. Well,
okay.
Last year.
It's this year still.
Yes, this year. So the list, we got a lot of things we did. I was kind of going over some of the new additions and things. I won't give it away, but a lot of things. You start thinking about those too, so we can add those to it. So, all right. Now, let's talk about markets for a second here. The Fed finally, as we had predicted, raised rates in December. The game plan is on. They raised rates a quarter of a point. And as you remember, we said the game plan would be like, well, they'll probably raise it, but they thought that last year there was a bit of a rocky start to the year after the rate hike went in and they had 4 planned for the year. They only did 1. So they probably will pull back a little bit. I thought they were only going to announce 2 potential rate hikes for 2017. They decided to announce 3 potential rate hikes for 2017.
So that should mean 1.
Yeah, maybe. In December, maybe two. Yeah. It all depends, I think, on what actually happens with the fiscal stimulus, if any, whether it's going to be the tax issue, the repatriation, whether we have...
It's going to take so long to implement. Oh, yeah. That won't even be in play until the second or third quarter.
Right, and then it's going to trickle down past that point. The only thing is, if they implement tax reform.
The repatriation thing would be pretty cool if they pushed that through right away.
And they could do taxes. Well, possibly they could do taxes right away. And the taxes will then affect 2017 tax returns. So even though it won't necessarily affect things right then and there, it still would be baked into the 2017 numbers.
Well, if that's true, then it should change the withholding, I would think, to the point where people would have more money when they cash their checks.
You would hope so. That would be very nice. And then you know what that means. Means more potential donations for DH Unplugged.
It means that, yes.
In a matter of fact, I would go so far as saying that if this does get implemented, that it's pretty easy to set up an automatic monthly payment because you have this more money in your paychecks every month.
Yeah, and the first thing they want to spend it on is DH Unplugged.
Well, of course. but what happened? So what happened when the Fed announced their little rate hike potential? The U.S. dollar surged again. I have a chart here on DH Unplugged over on the show.
It's outrageous.
It's actually the chart that I put up. I was planning, doing some planning and all that yesterday. That chart is yesterday's chart, okay, from yesterday. And where was it yesterday? 102.40.
It pulled back a little bit, didn't it?
It's 103.30.
Yeah.
It's up. It's up even more.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. No, wait. It's at 102 here.
Yeah, and today it's 103.30.
That means it pulled back.
It means it went higher. This is a basket. This one's a basket against other currencies.
Oh, this is the basket. This is not against the euro.
Right. This is a basket against five or six different currencies.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different. Sorry.
So look what happened after the Fed announcement. Went from 100, 101, we'll call it, to about 102.60. And today it's at 103.30 because you know why? Because, you know, after Trump was originally elected, the dollar went skyrocketing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was elected again, it seems, yesterday. He won the election again.
This is great. He got elected twice.
Twice. And he, you know what? He's not shy about telling us about it either.
No, of course not.
Oh, man. His tweets are hilarious. You follow him, right?
Yeah. His tweets are definitely humorous, mostly. Yeah. My favorite one was his obit for Fidel Castro. Oh. Did you see that one?
I think so, yes.
Fidel Castro is dead. Period. That's it. Fidel Castro is dead. Yeah. Well, thanks for the update, Don.
Now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is closing in on that psychological 20,000 level. I think it was about maybe 15 points away today.
I thought it was going to go over today for sure. Yeah, look,
there was no reason why it couldn't. Nothing was stopping it. There was no, I mean, yesterday we could say that it could have gone higher, but we had all these geopolitical issues yesterday, right? We had this Berlin trucker smashing into the Christmas market. We had the Russian ambassador to Turkey killed. We had the U.S. Closing its diplomatic missions in Turkey after Manchard fired shots outside its embassy. You know, all this crazy stuff going on. I don't know what was yesterday. Was it? It wasn't a full moon, but
No, the full moon's passed.
Yeah, that was the day I went fishing, actually, because we go fishing on a full moon.
Is that because the fish are?
There's something about, you know,
the light, or what?
First of all, I think that all this stuff about, well, you go on the high tide and the low tide, you go on this, you go on the full moons and this and that. I mean, I think there's some BS involved in some of this because I can catch fish or not catch fish just as easily on a new moon, an old moon, a full moon. You know, and this day, it should have been the perfect day for wahoo fishing. Wahoo, that's a cool fish. You ever have one, a wahoo?
I keep being told about how delicious they are.
Delicious. It is one of the fastest fish in the sea. I know this is just, I'm going to go through this very quickly. It runs about 65 miles an hour. Okay. And when we are out there fishing for this, we're going about 14 knots. So that's about 16-ish miles an hour on the boat. I mean, we're moving fast with these rigs behind us. And when that thing hits, it's a rod bender. Because then they open their mouth and you're going 40 and the whole, and usually they're pretty big or reasonably big, you know, anywhere from 30 to 70 pounds. And then, you know, then you're, it's pretty hard to reel them in, but they're great fish. Anyway, that's the fishing report.
I'm surprised somebody doesn't get the clue about maybe like tagging a few of these fish because they go in schools. And then when I fly back from Port Angeles through to Seattle on a puddle jumper, which is a low flying aircraft, along the coast, I can see the fish.
You can?
Yeah.
Huh.
And so you look down and you see these fish in schools, and they're along the ones that are hanging around the coast. You can't see them deep water or anything, but you can see them when they're along the coast because they have to be up a certain distance from the surface, and you can see the groupings of them. And there'll be a big group of them, and then there'll be nothing, and then there'll be another big group of them, and then there'll be just a few stragglers. It varies. But it seems to me that if you had a couple of these fish tagged with a little electronic thing, you could find where the school was and you can go in there and just drop your lure right there in the middle of it.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually a pretty avid fisherman and all those things are nice, but they don't help. I mean, we have going from the old days, tuna towers that were like, you know, 30 feet in the air. You're looking out there looking for different things and fish. Now we have drones that we send out. I don't do this, but they send them out and they look for the schools of fish. You know, the big thing is the one thing you want to look for is birds. Birds are always important, especially frigates. They're looking at, you know, they're way up there, just like you on the plane, looking down at the fish and finding where the fish are. So you find the birds, you find the fish.
Ah, makes
sense. And in particular, if you have a radar, if there's a lot of birds that are scattered around, you can see that alignment on your radar.
Hmm.
So you go right after those. Oh, let's talk about this whole Russian brouhaha. So the FBI director, James Comey, who I think has lost all of his credibility, hasn't he?
Not to me.
No? All right. And director of national intelligence, James Clapper. I think it's General Clapper. I met him.
Is it?
I believe so. Mm. I met him at a couple of different times up in D.C. At some parties I went to. But they're in agreement with the CIA assessment that Russia intervened in the 2016 election in part to help Donald Trump win the White House. So now,
yeah. Who says? Yeah. I've been looking at the press releases from all these organizations. I've seen nothing.
Yeah, I'm just telling you what they say.
Who's they?
The CIA? The Clapper?
Who?
Who what?
Who in the CIA?
The CIA.
There is no the CIA.
The guys in the NSA and the CIA, I guess.
Who? Who? Telling you. Who?
Yeah. Well, these are from sources that can't be named because it's...
Yeah, that talked to the Washington Post, which is a known group of liars.
Right. So anyway, I don't know what's going on with that. We have another story coming up actually about everything's Russia. Everything's piss on Russia week, it seems, or month. There's another story coming up about advertising, another brilliant scheme of advertising and how the Russians, you know, if you can't find anybody, just call, say, the Russians, you know?
Yeah, I like it.
The Cossacks. The Cossacks are coming. The Russians, blame it on the Russians because they're seemingly incredible hackers, better than anybody else in the world. Well, I'll talk about that in a minute. But I want to talk about this whole thing we brought up last week of animal spirits. The animal spirits have been renewed and stock market is moving up. Why? Because the animal spirits.
What kind of newsletters are you reading?
This is everywhere. Animal spirits. I'm not kidding. Everywhere.
Huh.
And I was thinking about this and I was thinking, what is animal spirits? You know, okay, that's, you know, the whole idea of, I think of
the first thing I think of when you say that, it's like vodka made from raccoons.
that would qualify. That would definitely qualify. But animal spirits, what is that? So I'm thinking raw. I'm thinking just aggression, right? I'm thinking just, kind of kill what you eat kind of thing and going after stuff and just, you know, kind of balls to the walls, I guess, in terms of the markets, buying everything that you can because you're just so pumped up. Does that sound like that could be the definition of animal spirits?
It's as good as any.
Yeah. So I'm waiting for intellectual spirits to be renewed.
Oh, that'd be great.
Where there's some thought about, well, instead of pushing the buy button 75 times, you know, before I think about why I'm doing this, just because I'm doing this because it seemingly is everybody else is doing it. But this whole animal spirits thing, you'll see it. If you watch the news, you'll see this whole thing about animal spirits, which leads me to believe that nobody knows what the hell they're talking about.
Huh. Well, that would be unusual.
Oh, would it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty pathetic. Now, here's some grave news. Terrorism across Europe. This was, I was shocked about this. At least the numbers, the total numbers. Terrorism across Europe has killed 10,537 people in 18,803 reported attacks, excluding those considered, quote, military tactics and war zones, between 1970 and 2015. Now, what was more striking was this. There's a couple of different charts here, but this particular chart, the European terrorism chart, look at the increase. Just, this is a monthly chart since 1970. And you can see spikes. I don't know what those spikes mean. I guess it could have been mass terror attacks. But you can see that there's a progression. It looks like it's higher.
Yeah.
Which I think we know, but.
Well, there's a little bit of a blip at 2000, if you don't look at the big spikes, but just the normal activity from 2000-ish, 1999, I guess, to around 2004.
Yeah, it's kind of a cluster there, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And then we're starting
a cluster now, too.
We're getting that now. Yeah, exactly. We're getting that now and starting to spike up again. It's terrible. This is just in Europe. I guess it's other terror in the Middle East would have.
Oh, the numbers there would be outrageous.
Yeah. But just, I forgot where I got this from, but there was I can't think of where I got this from. It was a great, is it on there? I would encourage you to look this up. Go to the University of Maryland's Global Terrorism Database and look at the areas around the world. There's a map that has all of the areas that there's been terrorist activities highlighted, kind of like a pushpin on a map. Pretty dramatic. One of the biggest places is Ireland.
Well, that goes back to the Irish IRA issues.
Yeah.
So that's a different kind of, a different.
That's more like war.
Different basis.
Yeah. In Brazil, here's some good news. I thought this was really good news. the Brazilian government has said that they want to get involved and do something about this incredibly large differential between their benchmark Selic rate, which is kind of their interest rate, like we have Fed funds or the loan rates, I should say, which is currently at 13.75%. And the average annual interest on credit cards, which is right now somewhere north of 450%. You think we got problems with 25 or 30% credit cards. I don't know about you. I want to open a business.
So here's, you know, Brazil is considered to be one of the great places in the world where the banks have figured out how to control hyperinflation through various mechanisms within the banking system. At least that's what I was told. I used to go to Brazil all the time, and I was told this. And I went there twice during the hyperinflation era, where your money would be worth nothing by the end of the day. We had Quizeros, and I still have a 500,000 Quizero note. I've always wondered about this, and I looked into it. I just could never get. If you have $100,000 and the interest rates are paying 13% in Brazil, why don't you put your money in a Brazilian bank instead of a U.S. bond?
Of course, but the problem is, and the reason is that, first of all, if you have to do it in their currency. And if inflation is at, let's just say it's 13%, then you're going nowhere, right? Because their currency is probably debasing. Probably. That's one reason. The second reason is that now, why is it paying 13.75%? It's probably paying that because there's some additional risk that they have to. As a matter of fact, when you look at countries that are seeing extreme outflows or problems, like a lot of the Latin America countries that saw all these outflows when oil was moving down in price, and all these outflows were happening, what do? They go in and they raise their interest rate to attract more money. So the reason that the interest rates are so high is not actually a good thing. So what you'd have to do is probably hedge out your currency if you can. And there's a couple ways to do that. Or, kind of just hope for the best, I guess. But I don't know about you. I think we should be offering an official DH Unplugged credit card. We'll just do 200%. It's a bargain.
Yeah.
Right? That'd be good. We'll just issue it. I mean, we could probably just plug into one of these deals, get a bank. I know a couple of bankers down here. We'll probably just issue something and 200%. The problem is that obviously the reason why that is 450%, it's not just that it's being overtly a major ripoff. It's because obviously the problem they have with their currency and the problem they have with their economy, people are not paying back the credit cards.
And it probably takes forever to turn it over to the point where you don't lose a bunch of money in between the monthly charge and the interest rate.
Right.
Yeah, it won't work. Yep. I like the idea, though.
Yeah. Now, we got to get talk about Uber, because I've been talking about Uber with a few friends, and they say, oh, that Uber, oh, it's great. I said, they're losing money. Oh, what are you talking about?
I'm losing a fortune.
In the first 9 months of this year, you'll like this, ride-hailing company. Notice I didn't say ride-sharing company. I said ride-hailing. So now the company is all about
trying to redefine themselves. That's sexy.
Right. So it's a ride-hailing company. So in other words, the company is all about waving up your hand and telling somebody you want to ride. So
yeah, why don't they just call it a gypsy cab and get it over with?
I don't understand what the problem is. You got to call it everything but. You know, it's the same thing of this socially accepted kind of headlines that we have to have all the time. The ride-hailing company. Well, for that matter, I think that McDonald's is a hamburger ordering company. Isn't that the kind of same thing?
Well, I'm thinking the weird part about this is, would it be any different if somebody like in San Francisco started the Red Cab Company and called themselves taxi cabs and didn't pay the fees?
Sure. Just because they have an app.
Is the fee, or they changed the name to the Red Ride Hailing Company and said, no, we're not taxis.
No, right. Because they don't have
taxis.
They don't have yellow. You don't have a light on top. You don't have any of the things that you need to have as taxis. And you just happen to be driving people because they're hailing you.
Yeah.
They're hailing you. Well, anyway, they lost significantly more than $2.2 billion over the last however long it's been. In the third quarter alone, they lost more than $800 million, not including its Chinese operation. Now, here's what's interesting. Net income for the quarter after paying its drivers was $1.7 billion, which then very simple math says that during the quarter, they really lost 2.5, you know, they made 1.7 net, right? But they lost 800. So let's just call it 2 billion plus, right? What the hell? Is it?
I know exactly what you're going to ask.
Is it legal fees? Please don't tell me it's developers. Is it customer service?
In other words, you're asking where is this? Okay, let's look at the – let's back up. You have a software program that organizes these rides.
Right.
It's running on a bunch of servers. The servers cost a little money to run. There's no doubt about that.
Okay.
But it's not like it's – you know, it's not like video services or anything that's really expensive to run. It's just a bunch of messaging. And so they're messaging all this stuff, and these drivers go out there. And then you have a billing system because the messaging system keeps track of all the rides, and it puts it in
– And locations.
And locations, and it does a calculation. It determines how much money you pay and how much money the driver gets. All done on computers.
All automatic, by the way, automated.
And all automatic.
Yep.
So where's all the money going?
I don't get it.
I don't either. It makes no sense.
I mean,
they have a nice building. Maybe it's the building. I have no idea.
It's got to be. I think it's got to be legal fees. I think they're embroiled in massive legal fees, and possible.
This is a lot of legal fees.
Well, it's not only legal fees, but legal settlements.
There's a lot. Oh, settlements. I don't know that they're of settlement?
They had to pay, you know, this group some kind of, I don't know, higher wage for something, and they had a settlement on this deal, and there was some tax issues with. People that were working as, you know, they had a W-2 them or something. So there was a whole bunch of things that went on. I don't know. Maybe there's a lot of payoffs going on too. I don't know. It just seems like an absurd number for a $60 billion valuation to still be losing money when it is not like, okay, we need about $1 billion, which by the way, is a lot of money. Can we state that for the fact that's a lot of money? Do you have any idea, and you do, what we could do with $1 billion?
Lots.
Okay. Even coming into it, not knowing anything, if somebody just gave us $1 billion, we could build something, couldn't we?
I would hope so.
A building, large buildings. And then they are supposedly going to be generating, they're tracked to exceed $5.5 billion of revenue this year, which they have to pay some of that out, of course, to the drivers, which makes sense. But even so, I can't even imagine I know the customer service, they must have a lot of people there because a lot of times you know, the drivers screw up and you have to issue, you know, a lot of emails going back and forth and all that. But the whole thing seems ridiculous to me. You know what? In the end, the taxi business is more profitable. Right?
I'd like to hear from a forensic accountant.
Is there any out there?
Explain this. Somebody can go in and explain what's going on. This does not sound right.
Yeah, something's not right. I mean, there's probably an explanation. I'm not saying a good explanation, but an explanation for why this is.
Where is it? Why don't they tell us?
Well, it's a private company. That's the beauty.
I know, but they're trying to go public. They're going to have to put it in the red herring. They're going to have to put some of this information somewhere.
Uh-huh.
They can't just cover it up and then say, well, it's just a miscellaneous expenses. And then roll out the IPO and get away with it. They're going to get everyone's going to be in court for the rest of their lives.
Not when you have animal spirits going. Animal spirits buying up the Uber. I'm sure they got the ticker already. UBER on the NASDAQ. Well, the euro is dropping again. And one of the reasons is that the Italian government, Banco Montepaschi, which is the main bank in Italy, which had all sorts of problems, never really cleared them up. Was kind of, as I say, it was a beautiful chocolate icing over a pile of dog shit.
Yeah, that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, that's what this was. And, you know, it looks great. It tastes great if you just touch the outside, but dig in and it's a nasty combination. So what's happening? Well, they went and there was a realization that the bank is not doing so well. So they said, well, you know, we'll get some outside money. We're going to do an offering, a public offering of our shares, and we're going to, you know, try to get about $5 billion in and all that. And I'm thinking to myself after I saw this news line, I'm like, who the hell in their right mind, when you have a bank that is on the verge of being nationalized, is going to put their money into this bank in shares. So you know what happened? Everybody was excited when they did this, right? When they first announced that they're going to have, you know, this $5 billion offering, because once again, we have the animal spirits that will be buying up everything. But you know what? Somebody flipped the switch over in Italy and turned on the intellectual spirits and said, you know, I don't think we're going to be buying so much of that stuff. So that's pretty much failing. And now all of a sudden, the Italian government is now clearing their way to the rescue the lenders by seeking permission from Parliament to increase the nation's public debt by as much as 20 billion euros. Increase the debt. In other words, the public is now on the hook for the shenanigans of this bank and for the very poor judgment of the EU. How great is that?
Idiots.
Idiotic. Just idiotic.
It's bad. Yeah. It's all bad.
Speaking of idiotic, we have Yahoo. I don't know why Melissa Meyer has not been taken out and tar and feathered yet.
I have no idea.
Another massive breach was just revealed.
They can't bring themselves to write the check for the, I believe, $41 million she receives if she gets fired.
Well, there's a massive breach. Remember the last one?
Yeah.
We heard about it 3 years later.
This took place before then.
Can you imagine being the company that's going to be buying them, that's put the offer in to buy them? I throw them out on the rest.
I don't see how anyone would do it. You're going to be stuck with some liability issues here that are going to be cost more than the company's worth.
A billion emails. A billion user accounts. And shame, more than shame on them, for not revealing this earlier and for the potential of all these people over those years getting ripped off. Aren't they on the hook for some of this?
Nobody's talked about this. Terms of service get them off the hook for anything.
I just don't understand how nobody's talking about how the fact that they were negligent in revealing that there was not one, but two, but at least one of these, and not alerting their people that, hey, there was a hack. This is the first time 3 years later that we're hearing about this. And why does it take 3 years for the company to provide us the information on this? What possible reason could it be besides the fact they're trying to hide it, obviously?
I think there's some work being done right now by lawyers to do something about this.
I think it's terrible. Really. This whole, and you know what? The other thing that's really terrible is that over the years, over the last several years, companies get away with all sorts of crap, don't they? And this doesn't matter. Now,
it's these. I think a lot of this has to do with terms of service and EULAs and all these things where you, when you use their services, you kind of write off. You know, you let them off the hook because you signed the document. Whether you open the package, which constituted signing the document, or you clicked on a button, because you can't load the software unless you click on the button, which agrees to the terms of service, which says that they, whatever they do, you're out of luck.
Yeah. Well, Facebook
It's the only reason that this is going on.
Yep.
Well, it's a plague.
It's a plague because now Facebook revealed more faulty metrics with their Instant Articles, which is its mobile publishing system, which is the fourth disclosure of a measurement error since September. So now we talked about how they were providing false information on the amount of video ads that were being provided.
Yep.
And now some large firms who are buying a lot of ads are going to say, you know what? Maybe what we should have is an outside. See, the problem is you got the fox guarding the henhouse. So you have Facebook providing you the metrics that you're paying for, which is fine. I mean, that's how it is, right? If you buy a dozen golf balls, the store is going to say you're buying a dozen, you got to pay for a dozen. I get that. But the problem is if they're packaging only 10 golf balls in that dozen, that's essentially what's happened here. So somebody's going to have to come along and do some kind of oversight. And, with less government, we're not going to have it through government in the next administration. But somebody's got to do something about oversight for these shenanigans.
Online advertising is a disaster.
Well, this next point, which leads us right into that, is an interesting story that just came out, I believe, this thing called MethBot. Have you heard about this?
MethBot?
Yeah, MethBot. So a cybersecurity firm says it has uncovered, this is where the Russia comes back into this, a massive online scam that employs an army of automated web browsers to siphon millions of dollars of advertising per day from U.S. media companies and brand name advertisers. So what this bot is called is MethBot because well, for whatever the reason is. But basically, what happens is they believe it originated in Russia. And the so-called botnets are providing fake views of as many as 300 million video ads per day and tricking advertisers to pay for the views that were never seen by humans. So they put up the ad, they put up the deal, and they say, here's the, you know, ad. And then they come in and it's their ads or something of that nature. And then they have these bots hit these videos. And
what's it called? A meth bot?
It's because it's buried in the computer code underlying, let's see, because references to meth buried in the computer code underlying the scam. I don't know. Maybe because it just moves very fast and it.
Well, I know about the scam and how it works. It's kind of like you set up a site and you have, you want to bullcrap your numbers. And so you send these bots in from various IP addresses and they click on the links and they bounce around a little bit. They're programmed to do that. Usually pretty much one after the other, exactly the same. And then you gouge the advertiser.
Right. So somebody's going to catch on to
this. I think this is going on more often than people like to imagine.
300 million video ads per day. I mean, that's more often than anybody can imagine.
Yeah. The numbers are outrageous as it is. And I don't see, you know, the thing is that bothers me is that you have somebody like Tide, for example, from Procter & Gamble, and they're paying tens of thousands of dollars to some website or may even be YouTube. Or whatever, and they get these numbers back that say that these video ads were viewed by a million people, and you pay that amount of money. But unless it's effective for a much smaller number of people, like maybe next to nothing, don't these guys themselves, can't they back analyze this stuff and say, you know, we spent a lot of money over here, and we see no results?
You would think so, but I think that everybody is so... And no wonder why online advertising has been growing so dramatically, the numbers and the revenues.
Yeah.
And this is not going to only hurt the and help, well, maybe help the advertisers at least, but the places like Facebook or Google or wherever else it is who have been housing some of this and allowing for this to go on may see a very significant drop to their revenues.
I think that's going to happen. That's what happened in the year 2000 when this first cropped up, when we had the dot-com collapse.
Yeah.
Second to the dot-com collapse itself was a advertising revenue collapse. Mm-hmm. There was an advertising problem that everyone pulled out of the online market, and a bunch of companies went out of business, which was attributed to the dot-com thing. But I think it was not at all. It was attributed to the scam, these scams that go on with these advertisings or advertisers.
Terrible thing. We'll have to see what happens with the next line. I mean, Facebook came out with some very weak guidance, but they, who knows? They oftentimes sandbag and they come in weak and people pretty much just don't even care about that and hope for the best the next time and figure, well, they'll beat anyway. But you have to wonder if it is a, number one, if the advertisers are going to figure this out. Number two, if the platforms will figure this out. And if, in fact, the platforms will have to pay back any money to the advertiser and how much they're going to lose in future ads.
Right.
Just simply by them turning off these bots or somehow going in there and blocking IPs or figuring out how to deal with this, which they won't do because the Russians are the best hackers in the world.
Yeah.
Russia must be doing really great.
I don't know what to do about it.
Yeah.
It just has to, the advertisers just have to say, you know, unless you can, they've been talking about this metric thing for a number of years and they're still talking about it. Can you prove to us that anyone's actually watching this? Can you prove to us anyone's watching this video? Can you prove to us that anyone's watching it more than 2 minutes? Because why are we going to put an ad in the middle of it if nobody watches past 2 minutes? And there's nothing's come up that's been workable.
Nope.
There's no Nielsen ratings for
websites.
Well,
Nielsen ratings you don't know either. I mean, unless you have it. Well,
they've
you
tried to get in on it, but they can't.
Right. A couple of the earnings things, and then we'll talk about some other items like gold and a few things that we're thinking about. But Nike came out with the earnings. Company has had a terrible year. Company's down about 19% for the year on their stock. A lot of negativity surrounding pricing and sales. But they beat their outlook and beat their EPS numbers that were expected. Outlook is much better. Stock is up about 3%. FedEx missed by 11 cents, said that the cost of some of their ground transport has gone up dramatically. Maybe that's I'm not sure what that is, but it could be.
How does that work?
Yeah.
And why are their price? How could they miss it all? Because their pricing is outrageous. I can't even use FedEx.
Well, I think one of the things is that Amazon has come in and said, you know what? If you don't lower your prices, we're going to use our own planes eventually. So FedEx has had to come down with that. Gas prices have increased, but
yeah, I think FedEx. I've noticed this too. I've gotten brought some stuff in from China occasionally directly, and it comes on FedEx. And it seems like the price of the product, which is a dollar, let's say, is less than it cost to ship it from China to begin with. Uh-huh. And especially at FedEx prices, which should be like if I sent a one-page letter overnight to China on FedEx, it would cost like $50. I think they're just giving their services away to some vendors.
I think so, too.
And everyone else has to pick it up.
Well, they also have more competition now. UPS was their main competition for a long time. Now the United States Postal Service has come in and delivering on Sundays. And by the way, speaking about deliveries, did you get my delivery?
I got us. I did.
I need to see a picture of this.
You sent two things. Oh, I didn't know I got to do that. I have it. It's hanging right in the front hallway now. First of all, you sent a box. I didn't know what the point of this was until I got the second item. You sent me a box, a huge box. I guess Amazon has these boxes of candy, just kind of snack candy. It came in an Amazon. Then it was from Amazon. And it had, I think, your name. You had a little card or something in it. Then the second box finally arrived in a huge, humongous, probably 4-foot box. A Donald Trump piñata. And then I didn't know where that came from. It came like 2 days afterwards. And I couldn't figure out who sent it to me because I've been soliciting a free piñata. And this is a really good one. It's got a face that's kind of printed. It's very, very attractive. Big feet. And it's a good-looking product. But then you told me, you sent it, that the candy was for the piñata.
You got to put the candy in the piñata. You got to stick your hand up Donald Trump's ass and fill it up.
Yeah, but I've decided I'm going to keep the piñata as art.
And eat the candy. There you go.
Yeah.
All right, that works. All right, let's go. Oh, so,
yes, yes, I got the package.
Good. Happy New Year, happy holidays. I wanted to mention I'm starting to, as our firm over here with our clients, we start nibbling on some of the gold miners after gold has been plagued by this terrible upward move of the dollar and gold moving inverse. And because it's no concern about anything, the VIX said about, I think the VIX is 1190, 1180. No concern about anything. Again, animal spirits are out there. It's kind of gold has been sinking. Nobody wants to be buying any protection about anything. But it seems that we're getting to a point that it may be very ripe to start investing in these gold miners. So I was just mentioning that you know, whether or not.
I'm all in with that thinking.
Yeah, that's good. I think you're right. If you want, by the way, you only have one more week to do this. If you want to go over to the DH Unplugged site under the show notes, just click that little thing. It expands. And there's halfway down, there's a little form there that says, why I listen to DH Unplugged. You want to hear all about, you know, what you like about it, what you don't like about it. We're going to read those on the air next week. So you have one more week to get in your comments on why I listen to DH Unplugged.
And it'll be a Wednesday show.
Yeah. And by the way, the whole point of this is to make us feel good for the new year and all that. So can you put something nice in there?
Yeah, I don't put this some of this stuff. You guys stink.
Yeah, you guys are awful. I tell you, somebody.
I don't know. I only listen to you guys to fall asleep.
Fall asleep. The DH Unplugged. Close to the Pin Cup final event. And there is just a few more weeks. We have people that are on the list. We have about 20 people or so that are involved in this. These are all the winners from last year that won the Close to the Pins. And we put them in a competition. And there's also a great prize. I don't know if I mentioned it. We got a trophy, too. An engraved, personalized trophy that's going to go out to the winner.
That'd be great.
Isn't that awesome?
There's nothing like having a trophy for the mantle.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. I mentioned and I tweeted this and you retweeted this I got to see where we are now. I think it's still ahead. But finally, once again, the old codgers took the lead against the Millennium Portfolio.
I knew it would happen.
Yeah. So we're beating the Facebook, LinkedIn's, Amazon. When I say we, I don't know why I have to necessarily align myself with the old codgers, but the old codgers portfolio that we put together is old school stocks, and we're beating them. If you want to check that out, go over to DH Unplugged as well. Big news. This will be on next week's What We Did This Year. Some listeners have been asking through Adam, by the way. I think it went through Adam and went to you and then came to me or something like that. But some people have been asking for the podcast to be on Google Play. So it was submitted and approved this evening. Now we're on Google Play. I'm not exactly sure how that works because it looks like they are housing the podcast now. I'm not sure what the deal is. And if I have my my doubts about this, I have this weird feeling that somehow they're going to figure out a way to monetize it and screw us.
And give us no money.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But anyway, we added it. If you want to go on your Google Play, look up DH Unplugged. I also put the Disciplined Investor podcast. And of course, No Agenda, I believe, is on there as well.
It might be.
Well, Adam told me he did it.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
He said he did it. Let's see here. Oh, this is a great story. You know Phil Ivey and who that is?
Name rings a bell.
He's the famous poker player.
Oh, right. The poker guy. Yeah.
He took the casinos for a ride recently. So he worked with his accomplice, somebody named Sun, who uses something called edge sorting. She trained herself to identify aberrations along the left or right margins of the card backs that are no wider than a 32nd of an inch. Don't even ask me how this is possible. Okay? And I guess what they did was, because she was able to know what cards the dealer had before they flipped it over. See, in Mandarin, she would say to the dealer, please rotate the cards, rotate the most valuable cards in the Baccarat deck. For some reason, you can rotate, maybe for luck, six through nines, and they were flipped 180 degrees. I believe every time you use a Baccarat deck, after you play, the deck is thrown out once the deck is gone. Because I don't know if you've ever watched people play Baccarat. They bend the cards and stuff. They rip the cards. They throw the cards. You ever see that?
No.
Yeah, in the casino. I was watching somebody play, and I'm like, whoa, what the hell are you doing with the cards, man? You know, they take it and they bend it. They do all sorts of weird stuff. Anyway, so even the automatic shuffler, while they were randomizing the cards, they wouldn't alter the rotation of the cards. So you get the picture here?
Kind of.
So the cards are rotated somehow. Somehow, because she could tell the differential between the edges of 130, they made $9.6 million that they had to eventually give back. Because they were
I don't know why they have to give it back. I guess it's because they cheated. She must be like one of these savants of some sort.
Exactly.
Because, you know, the guys who, like, they were shown in that movie.
Rain Man.
Where, you know, somebody can take a pack of toothpicks, throw them on the ground, and the guy can look at them and say there's 943 toothpicks. Mm-hmm. Just by one quick look.
Yep. So then, by the way,
that's got to be what this is.
It is. And then they took the money, the winnings, and they went over the crap table and won $500,000. They had to give that back too.
Why?
Because they took the winnings. They made that on the winnings. I don't know. I'm just telling you what happened.
They got ripped off on that.
Yeah. 500,000 craps. Pretty impressive. I don't know how that's possible, but look at the story. You'll just look up the story about Phil Ivey cheating.
It's like. Well, maybe they should have quit it, you know, early on.
Yeah, maybe 2 million.
Just keep bragging it up. Let's go to 50 million. No one will notice.
I think they did this at other casinos too, and there's probably going to be some ramifications for that. Not to mention the fact that as a cheater now, I wonder if he's going to be allowed at any casinos in any games at all, including the World Series of Poker and things of that nature.
Was he the cheater or was she the?
I think of both of them. He worked with this accomplice.
But what is? But
I guess he was at the table with her, or him. I'm not sure if it was him or her. But the Baccarat table is kind of like you can do whatever you want. You can talk to other people what the cards are, and you play. It's a simple bet. You play. The bet is player or bank, or I think tie, player, bank or tie. And you do this thing where they flip the cards closest to nine or something. And
I used to know how to play it, but.
Everybody's writing down things on the card, who won what, and they're doing this whole thing where they have some kind of process. It's crap. Anyway, speaking about cheaters, Christine Lagarde.
I think we modernized the game with blackjack.
Yeah, I agree. Cheating doesn't stand only at the casinos. Christine Lagarde, the managing director of the IMF, was found guilty on Monday of criminal charges linked to the misuse of public funds during her time as France's finance minister. Guess what her sentence was?
What?
Nothing.
Well, the embarrassment is sentence enough.
Guess what the IMF fund did?
Fired her.
Nothing.
Well, they should fire her.
Yep.
This seems very suspicious to me because the same thing happened to the other guy, the previous head of the IMF, who was, you know, caught raping a, supposedly raping a housemaid in a regular hotel.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, the IMF have a bunch of crooks, though. It's a bunch of crooks. They're just giving out money, and it's the U.S. lending out to other countries and hoping to, you know, get them in a vice grip to pay them back.
Yeah, that's pretty much the idea. It's all outlined in the Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins.
Yes.
The original book. Do not get the redo.
The next, yeah, the next. That was a good book. Confessions of an Economic Hitman was a great book.
The original.
Yeah. Russian ambassador. Okay, moving along. A terrible thing. Sorry to his family, but we're moving along. Reuters found that nearly 3,000 areas with recently recorded lead poisoning rates, at least they found at least 3,000 with lead poisoning rates, at least double those in Flint during the peak of that city's contamination crisis.
Yeah, I think it's all over the place.
I think it's all over the place, too. It is. Come on. It's Fukushima, but we don't care about it. You know, it's like when they test the water and the water comes out that it's too high in something, they just change the rules of what is the allowable limits. As much as, you know, it's the same thing as always. It's just government at its best.
It's shameful poisoning of the public.
Yeah, here's another one. Prescriptions for OxyContin have fallen nearly 40% since 2010. That's kind of good, I guess, in a way, maybe because some people get addicted to that. It's a morphine derivative of some sort, whatever, or opioid, which means that billions of dollars in lost revenue for his Connecticut manufacturer, Purdue.
Yeah.
So what does Purdue do?
Good.
What do they do?
What do they do?
So what they do is they're pursuing a new strategy. They're going around the world, employing a network of international companies owned by the family to move into Latin America, Asia, the Middle East, Africa, and other regions, pushing broad use of painkillers in places that are ill-prepared to deal with the ravages of opioid abuse and addiction.
Wow.
What bastards, huh?
This is pretty funny.
If you watch any of the old commercials about money of these drugs, they talk, oh, it doesn't get you at all addicted. And it, you know, there's a very fascinating documentary that I saw about all of the commercials and the way they pushed it to the public when these things first came out that made it look like it was just
just better.
Yeah. Life is better. I mean, have you ever taken those OxyContins? Those are pretty potent.
Nope. Never even touched one.
I had some back pain. Let me tell you, first of all, you do feel pretty good on those.
I'll bet.
Oh, you're floating. You're doing your thing. You're feeling good. But I got to tell you something. You take those for a couple of days because you got some pain. The next day is hell.
After 2 days?
Yeah, this stuff is nasty. You're sweating. You're shaking. It's nasty.
After 2 days?
Yeah, you take a bottle in 2 days. No, I'm not kidding. You take a few of those things. I'm telling you, they're very strong and they're very addictive.
Huh.
Maybe 3 days. I'm telling you, it was 2 or 3 days. I had this back problem. I was in the doc gave me this. And like I said, you felt all warm and fuzzy, but not fun afterwards. And finally, a couple of things. First of all, thanks to Tim Kiernan for sending us the book Signals. Did you get yours?
Yeah.
Yep. Thank you very much. Very nice.
Notice that the thing was, it was designed, it was like, it's printed for sale only like in Bangladesh.
It really? Why is that?
Yeah, take a look at the fine print on that book. I have it right here. I don't know. I don't know how he got them.
Let's see. I got it right here. Dr. Piba is a former presidential advisor.
It's like on the cover, on the back, or by the price.
For sale only in India, Bangladesh, Nepal, Bhutan, Sri Lanka, and Pakistan.
Yeah.
Is it outlawed here?
No, I think it's because he got some gray market books for next to nothing. I'm sure they're cheaper over there.
So you're telling me that this guy wasn't giving us a nice thing? He was just finding a very cheap book to send to us?
Well, I think he's a smart guy.
Oh, come on.
This is international trade.
He says he likes the book. I'm reading his little note on the front here. I'm not going that way. You're a mean fellow. Guy gives you a gift and you tell him he's cheap. That's not nice.
I never said that.
Oh, you were telling me that? Maybe he's even used the book. Anyway, seriously.
I thought it was amusing.
Tim Kiernan, thank you so much for sending us that. That is officially the first book that I have that's not for sale here in the United States.
I've never seen anything like it. I never knew they put that on there.
Yeah. Real quickly, people buying computers in South Carolina will be limited in their access to porn online under a newly proposed legislation.
Yeah, that's going to work.
So
that'll do it.
So Bill Chumley, who was Chumley? Who was the guy on what was it? Chumley was the guy that had hamburgers on Tuesday or something. Hey, Chumley. Oh, the penguin guy. What was that cartoon with the penguin?
I don't know.
Chumley. Chumley. Come on, Chumley. Anyway, this bill was provided by Bill Chumley, who would require sellers to install digital blocking capabilities on computers and other devices that access the internet to provide the viewing of obscene content. Proposed legislation would block online porn from computers bought in South Carolina. So what you do is
block.
So what do you do? Buy it online, have it sent to you.
Yeah, buy it from Amazon or just drive down to North Carolina.
Right. Now, what happens if you buy a computer in South Carolina and you drive to North Carolina? You can't watch porn there because it's based on the computer. That's stupid. The proposal would also prohibit access to any online hub that facilitates prostitution, would require manufacturing or sellers to block any website that facilitate traffic. Let me ask you one question. How many of these computers do you think will sell?
Well, first of all, let's start with, will this bill even pass? I think this is a blown out of I don't think this is even going anywhere.
You know, this is the kind of guy that's going to get found out to be in some kind of
porn
den somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
It's going to be like one of these members that shows up when a database collapses.
That's always the case.
Hey, look who it is.
We had a guy down here, a local guy, trying to close down all the massage places. I mean, this is like in 1990-something, right? Meanwhile, he was arrested with all these prostitutes and all this terrible, all this stuff and crazy crap that went on down here. Idiot. Anyway, what is John C. Dvorak writing for PC Magazine?
That's a good question. What was it? It was something about one of the latest trends going on.
It's not animal spirits.
I did it on Monday. So what?
Not animal spirits.
No, I can't think of what it was. It's good, though.
By the way, you know what trend you should write? Texting and driving. Subtitle.
But you can't develop that to an entire column.
I got it for you. Ready? Here we go. Ready?
Okay.
Texting and driving. Subtext. A modern day natural selection.
Yeah. Not quite the kind of thing I write.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
It's a funny idea. It's more of a cartoon.
I was thinking about it today because I saw some people texting and driving. I'm like, natural selection right there. But then I was thinking, it's not just them that will die if they crash into somebody. It's also, you know, potentially somebody else. So anyway, let's talk about some of the stocks. This is a game that we play. This is not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. It's not anything more than just some simple ideas that we come up with and hopefully share with you. I know a lot of people out there use them. And if you do use them, please do your research. Contact a professional financial advisor to maybe bounce some of the ideas off with, because we take no liability for any losses. We take all the gains and say that, you know, you're welcome for those. But we also mentioned that if John C. Dvorak, myself, or Horowitz Company owns any of the positions that we talk about at the time that we actually bring them up, we'll disclose that as well. And you can find all these over on DH Unplugged. Just click on the weekly stock picks icon. Now, look at that list. It's looking very sweet, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely. Except for the latest two picks, but everything else looks good. I see my Apple is perking back up again.
Yeah, and Twitter, the CTO just left.
Today. That's not good.
Not good.
Always a bad sign.
Yep. Probably because there's no advertisers, because they're just getting false and fake advertising.
You're the one buying Twitter.
I know, I'm an idiot.
No.
I thought the Twitter in chief would do something.
Well,
I have a feeling this
is like a couple points before this thing kicks you out.
Yeah. Well, we got 55% in Barclays, 10%. Oh, that was stopped out. I got to move that away. That was last week. I didn't take that.
I noticed today a big number of insiders again buying heavily into 21st Century Fox. So people might want to look at that, even though it's going to be off this list. So something's up there.
Yep.
I don't know what.
Kinder Morgan up 4.5%. Walgreens Boost Alliance up 8.57%. I think there's going to be a...
How did I get kicked out of... What is my short on Apple got bounced?
Yeah, it got bounced last week.
Because of the dipsy-doo?
Yeah, because it came down and came back right back up.
Oh.
So sorry.
All right.
Looking
good with Kinder Morgan, my Walgreens Boots Alliance again.
Yep.
Just because the CEO is buying, it's up almost 10%.
And they have a major deal going on. They're buying Rite Aid, or a bunch of the right. And there was today there was a announcement because of some of the antitrust issues involved and all that. They're going to sell a bunch of their stores to a company called Fred's. Fred's is another one of the pharmacies. Stock was up 81% today when they, you know, got that deal because they have obviously got a sweet deal on
Fred's.
It. Yep.
Well, that'd have been a good one.
Yeah. Resolute Energy up 27.8%, Twitter down 7%, and Wendy's down 1.4%. The only thing I have maybe for this week, but I'm not going to do it. I don't think I'm going to wait. Although I think it's a good idea, is the gold miners. But I'm not feeling anything towards the end of the year here.
Hmm. Well, I'm going to go with an insider.
Yeah.
This company everyone's heard of. It's up and down. It's kind of like it's forming one of those. If you look at the chart, it's forming one of those corkscrews.
Oh.
It's almost a classic, actually. It looks like a corkscrew, or, you know, a screw. It's like, and now it's at the end of the screw, which means the stock should skyrocket or collapse. But I'm going to have to guess the skyrocket.
Uh-huh.
Famous stock, TransDigm.
What is that? What's the symbol of that?
It's aerospace, TDG.
TDG. TransDigm Group at last is $249.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, and this guy, this director, let me tell you this. He's been buying this stuff for the last number of years. He started buying it at $57, and he kept buying it and buying it and buying it. Every time there was like this corkscrew effect, every time it went down to the bottom of the screw, he would buy it. And he kept doing that. And now the screw has reached its pinnacle. It's at the end.
Ah.
Now, this thing is way, you know, it's high. I mean, he started, you know, he's pretty much hitting the differential between the top of the screw helix and the bottom.
Right.
It shrunk and shrunk. And now he's been, you know, buying pretty much at this price.
It's like a spring.
And, sorry?
It's like a spring.
Yeah. And so he's right now, it's at the tip. And I believe this may be a breakout point.
Do you know that last week you had Wendy's that you put on there, and your thesis was something screwy? And
yes.
This week you're putting on TransDigm, which is corkscrewy. Corkscrewy.
It's corkscrewy.
Okay.
So
we'll put it on there.
We'll see.
All right. Well, I will talk to you next week, and we will have a year-end wrap. And you have a wonderful time on your Christmas. And on your meet and greet for No Agenda.
Trip to Los Angeles.
Yep. You can find John C. Dvorak, listen to him on No Agenda on Thursdays and Sundays. Also at The Real Dvorak, and myself, Andrew Horowitz, is my Twitter handle. So there you go. It's all you need.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, great. We'll talk next Wednesday.
Yep, next Wednesday. Bye-bye.
Okay.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.